Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of UK Trivia on the Incomparable Game Show, where I make non-Brits play British Trivial Pursuit for your amusement and their pain. I'm your host, Anthony Johnston, and it's been another crazy year since we last played. So let's try to take our minds off the futility of existence for a short while by casting our minds back to 1983, courtesy once again of the original UK edition of Trivial Pursuit, which I still can't believe I found on eBay for like 30 quid. It's amazing. Today's North Americans are, I believe, all returning players to UK Triv, which just goes to show some people never learn. In East-West order of longitude, which is also the order in which they will play, they are, over on the East Coast in Massachusetts, it's Dan Moran.
Hello, tea and biscuits, crumpets, scones, something.
Excellent. 3 points. Straight down the middle in Texas, it's Shelley Brisbane.
Hello, 1983, a year in which I was alive.
Oh, I think we all were, actually, weren't we? Yeah. And then our final two contestants are both crammed over on the West Coast. So first in Seattle, we have Glenn Fleischman.
I think I can explain the difference between the Premier and Championship League this time.
Oh, good. Can you explain them to me? I have no idea. And then finally, also in Seattle, but we think just a little further west of Glenn, is Monty Ashley.
What about the European Super League? I remember reading a lot about that for about a week.
Yeah.
Really into it for 1 week.
Oh my God. Terrible idea. So welcome one and welcome all. I'll just explain for listeners who maybe haven't listened before. UK Triv was inspired by Erica Ensign's Random Pursuit, which is also here on The Incomparable. So rather than using a board, we go straight to the question cards. And on their turn, each contestant rolls a six-sided die to determine the category of question that I will ask them. If they answer correctly, they score 1 point and have another go, up to a maximum of 3 questions per turn. When they get an answer wrong, their turn ends and play moves to the next person. At some point, when our existential despair can no longer be held off with parlor games, we'll declare a final round, at which point each contestant then gets one final set of questions with no scoring limit. As long as they keep answering correctly, they will keep getting questions, and at the end of that round, we will have our winner, for what it's worth. The categories are, of course, the original Trivial Pursuit categories, kind of goes without saying, and they are 1. Geography, 2. Entertainment, 3. History, 4. Art and Literature, 5. Science and Nature, and 6. Sports and Leisure, in that order, from 1 to 6. So, as I said, we play each round east to west, so the first to go is Dan Moran. Dan, please roll a six-sided die.
Rolling away, and I have gotten a 3.
3, and that is history. All right. Mm. What exploded outside the Houses of Parliament in 1869, killing a policeman?
In 1869, you say? What exploded?
Yes.
Man, like my first instinct is just to say a bomb. I am not... Oh, boy. 1869.
A blamage.
Yes, it's not a car. I can tell you that much. I'm going to say, what is there? What could possibly have exploded outside of, I'm going to say a bomb. I got nothing. I'm going to say a bomb. That's what explodes.
Well, incredibly, you were actually more along the right track when you said, it's definitely not a car, because
it's a wagon.
No, it was apparently the world's first set of traffic lights.
What? Amazing.
Wow.
In 1869.
They should stop making those out of bombs.
Right.
The magnesium traffic lights of the day.
Wow.
I did not know that. That's great.
Incredible.
I love it.
Incredible.
Once again, proving that progress is dangerous.
Yes.
Don't think I would have guessed that in a million years.
Wow.
Just should have stayed in the sea all along. Shelley, your turn. Roll a die, please.
I have rolled a 1.
A 1, and that is geography. All right. What is the second largest island in the world?
Second largest island in the world? That is a good one. Australia?
I think that's probably the first. New Guinea, apparently.
Greenland is the first biggest. Australia is too big to be an island.
I suppose it's classed as a continent rather than an island, isn't it?
Yeah. You never know. Sometimes people are weird about those definitions. It was a good guess, though. I would have also guessed Australia was largest.
Yeah, if you don't know it, you know, Australia is normally a good guess for that sort of thing.
I was thinking Madagascar, but that's not anywhere near that size.
I don't think it's
not nearly that big.
Nope.
No. It's big, but it's not that big,
Not the second biggest, surely.
And Glenn, it's your go, so please roll it up.
All right, let's see here. I got a one as well.
All right, geography for Glenn as well. What aid to shipping was opened in 1914?
Wow. I love the way these questions are written so poorly. What aid to shipping? The Panama
Canal. These aren't Jeopardy questions, Glenn says derisively.
How about the Panama Canal?
That is correct.
Oh, all right. I just thought of things that got stuck inside other things, and I thought of the canal.
Well, it was either that or Suez, I guess, canal. Wasn't it?
That's too early. Too early.
Too soon. Oh, so I only roll.
All right, Glenn is first on the board. Glenn, have another go. Roll another die.
I got a four.
Four, and that is art and literature. All right. Okay. Where was the Mona Lisa stolen from on August 21st, 1911? There's lots of dates in these questions so far, aren't there?
I got to say the Louvre.
I mean, where else would it be? Yeah,
I was going to say it was
Bob's. Well, there it was stolen.
I mean, this is a Who's Buried in Grant's Tomb kind of question.
It was the Louvre. It was the Louvre.
That's interesting. Where's the Mona Lisa resided? I was thinking, is this a trick question? Like it's been
bit of a gimme.
It was stolen from Jimmy's house down the block because he stole it from the Louvre.
Was eaten by pigs, apparently, like one of the stolen paintings.
It was a bargain.
I've rolled and gotten a two.
Two. Entertainment.
Okay. Oh, I love the laugh.
I think this may be the end of your streak, Glenn. Where are pints pulled on Coronation Street?
The
Coronation
Arm.
Street is in italics because it is the title of a show.
That I know that much. They are pulled in the EastEnder Arms. I don't know. That's my answer.
Coronation Street is not the one in London. Good Lord, no. It's the Rover's Return. That's the pub in Coronation Street.
Rover's Return. I'll file that for next time.
All right, Monty, on to you.
All right. Coronation Street's still around, right? Like,
It's the longest running show in the world.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Not The Archers? Well, it wasn't on TV,
That's
though.
Radio.
That's not TV,
radio.
Yeah.
I just learned about it last week.
I rolled a six.
Sports and leisure. Oh, ooh, no.
Excellent. Here we go.
Yay.
Oh, man. And this is, and not you normally, Monty, you're so good at UK Triv, but sports and leisure trips us all up, doesn't it?
I have gotten like three questions right ever on UK Triv.
No, surely not.
Okay, what is...
I come for the mouth noises.
What is the most popular net sport in American nudist camps?
Volleyball. That is volleyball. 100%.
It is. It's volleyball.
Only in American nudist
UK
camps.
Answer for nice work.
Boy. Wow. I didn't like the judgy tone in that question.
What is the most popular?
Every civilized British news camp knows it's badminton, but yeah.
Oh, there were a ton of nudist films and news magazines that were just full of volleyball.
Can't imagine why.
Because people had to jump.
No, I could imagine why.
It's not as attractive as I think.
I rolled a five this time.
Science and nature, thank heavens for that.
No nudist camps in nature.
Science and naturalists.
What is room temperature?
Oh.
Wow.
Very.
My answer is 72 degrees Fahrenheit.
Alas, on here, at least, it is 68 degrees Fahrenheit. But it did occur to me, what if the definition has changed in the last 30 years?
Well, the problem
so
is, I learned what room temperature was in San Diego, California. And that's going to be warmer than it is in the UK.
Also, why does it say Fahrenheit?
Well, yeah. That's
I think Jimmy Carter changed it, didn't he? Didn't he just, it was 72 used to be considered like
is heating he allowed temperature? To do that?
Well, that was 68. That was changing the climate control, but it wasn't changing what might be constituted
as
room temperature.
Do you mean Jimmy Carter went to everybody's house and adjusted their thermostats? Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of he had the first nest in the White House. He could control everyone's thermostat from Washington.
Kind of a micromanager.
Just popping in to turn this down a little bit. No, right. Don't mind me.
Nuclear engineer and micromanager.
The power of the president's
and
office.
And one-term president.
I saw that story, Glenn. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right, that's the end of round one. At the end of round one, Glenn is in the lead with two. Monty has one. Dan and Shelley are contestants in our lineup.
Excellent. Just where I like to be, my sweet spot.
And Dan, it's back round to you. Roll, please.
All right. I've got a four this time.
Art and literature. All right. Who was shipwrecked for 28 years, 2 months, and 19 days?
I'm going to go with Robinson Crusoe.
I mean, name a person who has been shipwrecked.
Yeah. <Tom Hanks.
laughs> Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, multiple times, it feels like.
Correct, yes. Go on.
All right. Rolling. And this time, a 5.
Science and nature again. All right. What animal is considered to have the highest blood pressure?
Me, after this question.
Again, enjoying the idea of somebody, probably again Jimmy Carter, walking around taking blood pressure of a bunch of animals.
I don't understand that. Why wouldn't people measure blood pressure for animals?
Oh, I mean, they totally would. I just pictured one person going around just to compare them all.
What I love is that like, it's what animal is considered to have the highest blood pressure. Like,
that's
not,
right.
Not what animal
does. There's dispute like, in the scientific community.
Everyone knows tigers are just super stressed all the time. Okay,
they go through a meditation course.
I'm going to go with the do I want to give the answer that's got some weird remote chance of being right, or do I want to go with the answer that's funnier to me? I'm going with the answer that's funnier to me, which is the giraffe. Because it's the tallest.
Oh.
Makes sense.
I've got news for you.
Logical, yeah.
That is also the correct answer.
Whoa!
Oh, that was very good. That seemed very logical.
Wow. That was fun. I was going to say maybe elephant, I love the idea of the giraffe. They're just tall. So I guess
that's that blood up there.
Some high pressure.
It literally needs a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Things. All right.
Good
well, that's going great.
Roll again.
Surprisingly well. I rolled a 1.
Geography. Oh, here we go. All right. What's the world's largest sea? Sea. I'll
are
just
we
emphasize
gonna,
that.
We're distinguish seas from oceans.
Wait,
or sevens.
Is this seven or sea? Can we switch to going off the tracks?
Right.
Tony.
Yeah, get Tony on the line.
After this, we're going to have a conversation about what distinguishes seas from oceans, because I have feelings about this. I'm going to say the Mediterranean.
And you are correct.
Okay.
That is a sweep. Our first sweep. Well done.
Oh.
Hey, good.
I don't know what makes a sea different from an ocean. Does it have to be enclosed in some way? Or like partially enclosed? Or
fresh water, so I don't know.
I don't think it has to be enclosed completely, because the Baltic Sea, for example, is not, you know, fully enclosed.
The North Sea, sure.
Right, no, there's the North Sea, but...
There's the Sargasso Sea, which is just in the middle of the ocean and not bounded by anything.
Yeah, that's where it gets weird. I mean, I assume maybe there's like currents or something, because I think of like how the Indian Ocean is like connected to the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, I don't know. Where do you... There's no lines. They keep trying to draw the lines in the water, but they keep moving.
I thought you were going to do a Dem Bones rendition with the oceans then for a minute.
There you go. All right.
Anyway, well done. You have swept the board. So we move on to Shelley. Please roll.
I've rolled a 3.
A 3. History. All right. What battle was a horse named Comanche the only losing survivor of?
What battle? A horse named Comanche, losing survivor.
That is a complicated question.
I mean, that sort of sounds like it would be American, because that sounds like something we would name our horses after an Indian tribe maybe we were beating up on at the time. And it also has to be something where everybody died.
That does kind of narrow it down a little.
Right. I'm not bringing to mind a lot of battles in which every single combatant on the losing side was wiped out. And there was a horse involved.
Oh, this is a horse, of course, of course.
Indeed. And his name was Comanche.
Yes.
I'm going to say something that's entirely wrong. The Battle of Little Bighorn.
No, you didn't. You said something that was entirely correct.
Oh, nice.
I assumed that was correct. Yeah,
General Custer's horse, right? Yeah. Is Comanche?
I don't know. It doesn't Custer's go into that horse. Kind of detail.
It was somebody else's horse.
Oh, was that right? Oh, I thought it was his horse.
Well, and I have a four.
Well, again, four. Art and literature. All right. What animals became the leaders in Animal Farm?
The pigs.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Roll again. Hey, we're doing, I think collectively we're doing pretty well here.
Right?
Yeah, this is, well, it's true.
Five.
Five. Science and nature. I hope I didn't just commentator's curse everyone there. Sorry. how many feet are there in a fathom?
Six.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
Another nice. Sweep. Nice. Well done, Shelley.
I was confused. I was thinking full fathom five, but that is five fathoms, not the number of feet in a fathom. So
correct.
That might be a question later. I shouldn't have said anything.
You never know.
In Shakespeare's
they love their fathoms questions.
Yes. Everything indeed. Has to be fortnights and fathoms.
Glenn, we're on to you. Please roll. Ready.
I got a six, please.
Sports and leisure.
Oh, goody. My favorite. Which cricketer's brother?
Yeah.
Oh, no, is it?
Oh, you had to say it, didn't you?
Oh, no.
Who? Oh, dear. Who first scored a century and took 10 wickets in the same test match?
Goodness gracious.
That's basketball, right?
Yeah.
That would be George Willickson.
Is that your answer?
Sure.
Yeah, no. No, you may have heard of this one, actually. It's Ian Botham.
Nope. I know Botham. I know both of them. I know both of them from Monty Python, I think.
He's a very famous cricketer. But obviously, you need to know something about cricket.
I got the cricket curse. I did it. I called it upon myself. It's my fault.
You couldn't let it go. Oh, no. Monty, we're on to you. Please roll.
We're on to you, Monty.
Five.
Five, science and nature. All right. What fabric derives its name from the French for cord of the king?
Corduroy.
That's not true, but it is the correct answer to the question. That is such an old debunked myth, but it is the answer to
not
that
1983,
question.
1983, my friend.
Oh, no.
You didn't have PolitiFact back then.
Yeah.
Now I have rolled a one.
A one. Oh, geography. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that is... Oh, it's oceans again. Okay. Well, water again, I should say. What ocean surrounds the Madeira Islands?
Okay. Well, there's a limited option here. I'm going to rule out the Arctic immediately.
I was going to say there are only... How many oceans are there on the Earth? Like five, six?
Yeah.
I think it's... Isn't it seven or C?
I think it's five back then, and now it's down to four.
Oh.
Madeira.
Yeah, Pluto is no longer an ocean.
Caribbean. Could be. I'm going to say the Atlantic.
And you would be correct.
Ooh,
well done.
Hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, roll again.
Where is it Madeira? Do they make port there?
Yeah, Portugal. Portugal.
I believe it is, yeah. Yeah.
So Portugal or Spain, probably Portugal.
Yeah, well, that kind of, yes. Yeah, Southwestern Europe.
Yeah.
I rolled a three.
History. All right. Okay, a bit of an odd one. What was the outstanding footwear fashion of 1972?
Ooh. Nice.
The outstanding footwear fashion of 1972, wow.
That is precisely what it says.
I love that.
Ah.
What a strange question.
I'm going to say, and again, this is going to reflect my California upbringing, and I don't know if it reflects UK at all, Birkenstock sandals.
No, it's pretty much the opposite. Platform soles.
That's what I was shoes.
All right. I was picturing people doing funky walking with really platformy shoes.
So that is the end of round two. At the end of round two, we have a three-way tie for the lead. We only have four players, and three of you are all joint first. Dan, Shelley, and Monty all have 3 points. Each have 3 points, I should say. And Glenn has two. So, I mean, Glenn's not exactly far behind either.
I'm doomed now.
It's over. Go home, Glenn.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You got out to an early lead and just collapsed.
This is my habit. On the last three games I've been on with Monty, this is what's happened.
Go to bed, Glenn's kids, Dad.
Dan, we're on to you again.
Please roll. Rolling. I got a one.
Geography again. All right. I'm going to apologize in advance if this is of its time. Where would a Vietnamese deposit his dong?
Goodness gracious.
Okay, all right. No, I, having read the answer, I feel vaguely better about that.
I still don't like it. In a bank?
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's a weird question. And
I think especially it phrased very deliberately to get an answer from,
Small adolescent children or something.
Yeah.
The snickering questions.
Indeed.
All right. Rolling again.
It's not a good question because bank is the only real answer you're going to do.
To deposit, right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Agreed. I got a two this time, Anthony.
Entertainment. All right.
Oh, good. British entertainment. That's really, definitely one of my strong suits. Circa 1983.
Well, actually, what did Jim Rockford call his father?
I am going to be honest with you. Never seen an episode of The Rockford Files.
Oh, what?
I think I tried to watch, and that might not be true. I might have seen the first episode at some point when I tried to watch it. I just wasn't inspired to go on, though I like James Garner.
I think you need to hand in your U.S. citizenship card. Yeah.
Do I? Is that? At least in 1983, I did. What did he call his dad? Pop.
Yeah. Does anybody else know?
It's killing me.
I think he called him by his first name, but I don't know what that was.
I can picture the actor's face.
No. Rocky.
Rocky.
Wild.
Makes sense.
Remember that actor's veteran actor.
Was that?
Noah Beery.
Good. Yeah. It's just a guy's done a lot of stuff. Wonderful part.
Wow. It's been a good run.
You're still in the lead for now. Shelley, we're on to you. Please roll.
I rolled a three.
For now.
For now.
History. All right. What British Prime Minister claimed Hitler has missed the bus?
Wow.
Chamberlain?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be him or Churchill.
And I'm going to go pick him up on the bus.
You accuse me of appeasement. This is my reaction to that. Hitler has missed the bus.
Did not sound very Churchillian to me.
No.
What a strange turn of phrase.
Hitler has missed the bus.
I rolled a five.
That's weird.
Science and nature. All right. What plant is sometimes referred to as sparrow grass?
Only by its friends.
By its bird friends.
What do the sparrows call it?
I guess grass would be sparrow grass. For a sparrow.
My grass, dude. Stay away.
Sparrow grass. Oh, I'm trying to think of a... I'm overthinking it, which means I'll get it wrong. Now the contestants make weird noises.
All of our contestants make weird noises.
See?
Thank you. I appreciate your distraction. I don't know. Daffodils. I have no idea.
I've never heard it called this, but asparagus.
Asparagus. Wow.
They just can't pronounce it.
I have never heard asparagus.
What do people who can't pronounce asparagus call asparagus?
It's Peschetti. Yeah.
Sparrow grass. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Never heard it called that in my life. Glenn, we're on to you. Please roll.
All right. I got a 5. That doesn't sound so horrible.
Science and nature again.
Yay. All right.
What is triskaidekaphobia?
Fear of the number 13.
It is. There are some questions where you're like, pretty much everybody here knows the answer to this one, don't they?
Yeah. My wheelhouse. A 6.
Sports and leisure. Oh, and it was going so well.
Oh, well. It's been a nice run. Thank you for being here.
Oh, although, actually.
All right.
What do you call a poker hand with 5 cards of the same suit?
5 cards of the straight of the same suit. I got to think about this. I'm going to say it wrong.
You got to bear in mind that, you know, over here, poker until maybe the last 20 years was not a game commonly played. So that would have been a much more difficult question. Yeah. Wait,
it's 5 cards of the same suit.
Correct.
Shoot, I think it's a flush.
It is. It is a flush. Good.
I really thought you said 5 cards of the, 5 of the same cards, and I thought cheating immediately was my thought.
It is fighting words. My brain kept saying a straight, and I'm like, no, a straight is a run of numbers, not
you call that flush. You call that a prelude to High Noon.
All right, I got a 5 this time.
5, that is science and nature again. What insect can jump 200 times its own height?
I would argue that would be the common flea.
And you would be correct. Glenn, that is your first sweep. Good job.
Phew.
Excellent. Monty, we're on to you.
I have rolled a 1.
Geography. All right. Okay. Nice callback. What's the second largest country in the world?
Wait, by what measure? I'm arguing on Monty's
I'm assuming it's by area, and I believe the answer is Canada.
And both your assumptions are correct.
Nice.
Whew.
Well done.
I'm glad it didn't ask for the biggest one, because I'm not sure what it's called at this precise time this game came out.
The Union Socialist Republic.
Yeah, it would have been the USSR at time of publication.
SSR.
Now I have rolled a 6.
6. Oh, sports and leisure again. All right. So we have... I don't even understand this. That doesn't bode well, does it? Sorry. What are snowballs, and that's in quotes, snowballs to a hot rodder? Now, of all the people here, you are the one who might know this, I would think, Monty. Given your, you know, pop culture tastes.
Hot running days.
Yeah, given your past as a hot rodder. Yeah,
I know you did the cannonball run.
Rebel without a cause.
Well, a hot rodder is obviously a person who, like, soups up their car and goes on drag races and stuff.
Yes.
So the question is, what are snowballs to them?
Yes.
I'm going to say bumps of cocaine.
That's a really good guess. It's not right, but that is really good. It's apparently white-walled tires.
Oh, no. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. So that is the end of round 3. And at the end of that round, incredibly, Glenn is in front.
Oh, this can't stand.
This will not.
Right, we can't allow this to continue.
Don't worry.
Glenn has 5, but everybody else has 4. So now we have 3 second place.
Wow. This is amazing.
We just need to all concert our efforts so that Glenn will roll a bunch of 6s.
I'll note all three questions I got had nothing to do with the UK. Well, technically nothing to do with the UK.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going around.
Remember, this isn't a UK-themed edition. No,
it's just from the UK.
The first edition that was published in the UK, true.
And the number 13 does exist in the UK, I admit that.
It does.
It's a very advanced country.
Everywhere in the universe.
Despite attempts to outlaw it. Dan, we're on to you. Please roll.
All right. I've got a six.
Sports and leisure.
The dreaded six. Six adecophobia.
Oh, how many strikes make up a perfect 10-pin bowling game?
Oh, you know what? This has come up before. I think it came up in a Learned League question.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you did that trivia thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely, I was trying to do, I had to math it out at some point not long ago, and I can't remember what I put down and if it was right or not.
I was told there would be no math.
Okay. How many strikes in a perfect game? I think there's 10 frames. But if you throw a strike, you don't bowl the next frame. Oh, God. I don't even remember. 20.
It's 12.
Ah, yeah, because you get extras.
You get two bonus throws. Yeah.
I will tell you, I grew up doing candle pin bowling, which actually has different structure to it. Mm. And so, yeah, that I've always struggled a little bit with what we call big ball bowling.
I've never even heard of candle pin bowling. What is
it? I don't know what it is.
It's a very New England thing, and essentially it is a much smaller ball. You can sort of grip it in the palm of one hand. The pins are not duck-shaped. They're straight.
Right.
And the scoring is different.
Skittles, then? We would call that Skittles.
Yeah, oh. I think it is similar to Skittles.
Dan, did you drink your birch beer while you're playing candlepin ball?
I did not drink my birch beer. All right. I'm not a caricature.
I love birch beer.
I believe you mean to say you're not a caricature.
Hey. Pop your ball.
Yes, that's right. I packed my con and went candlepin bowling down in Southie.
Ah, damn. Very nice. Shelley, we're on to you. Please save us from this madness.
I have rolled a two. Let the madness begin. Again.
All right. Entertainment. Who turned down the lead in Gunsmoke for fear of being stereotyped as a cowboy?
Oh my gosh.
John Wayne.
Correct. Wow.
Who was that? Anybody's going to know that. That's a Shelley question.
That's kind of in my lane.
Yeah. Wasn't James Garner? Wasn't he the one who played? No, not Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke.
Right. James Arness played Gunsmoke. James Garner was in Maverick.
Maverick. Yeah. Thank you. Boy, this is the crowd for this. I just got like three different people. Like, no, here's that was amazing.
Come on, James Arness, Glenn.
You and my 90-year-old father-in-law.
Yes, right, from The Thing and People Against O'Hara and other minor films.
Which Thing?
Sorry, from Another World.
Right. I've rolled a five.
Science and Nature. All right. So we have... what is another term for radiolocation?
Another term for,
it's going to be obvious when I,
the windowsill.
Yeah, where you keep yours?
Where's my radio
car dashboard?
That's a Groucho Marx line. That's good.
Should also be in my lane because there's radio in my Twitter bio.
I'll tell you that radio location here is one word. It is a single term.
I was going to say, because it's not like, I feel like it's so obvious that I'm going to not get it. And it's not like frequency hopping or it's, that's not my answer. I don't know. I'm going to say frequency hopping. It's not, but.
It's not. No. Does anybody else know?
I assume it's sonar.
Is it radar?
Radar.
See, that was, I felt the obviousness of that. And I was like, I can't find it. I can't pull it.
Yeah.
It did remind me of one of the sign-offs from one of my favorite quiz shows, Says You, which he would always say at the end of many weeks. Each week, more radios are tuned to this program than any other appliance, which makes me laugh. Although I thought to myself as we played the podcast of it, probably not true anymore.
Oh my gosh. It's everybody in England, I feel their father or grandfather worked on radar. It's like, I feel I know several different people like, oh yeah, they worked on, it's a very big project.
It's a big thing.
Yep.
Indeed. Glenn, we're on to you. Please roll.
I got a, six. This dice is loaded.
Oh no. What is, are you even going to know who these people are?
All right, let's see. We'll find out. Maybe.
What is Henry Cooper's and Kevin Keegan's smelly connection?
And this is sports and leisure, you say?
Yeah.
Henry Cooper and...
Kevin Keegan.
Cabney Cooper and Kevin Keegan. Smelly connection. Smelly connection. Just seeing if I can reason that out. Can I Liz it? I probably can't. Cannot pull it out of the depths of nowhere from the knowledge of the universe. Maybe they were.
Yeah, round cheese. Four, it's all starting to fall apart now.
Some cheese related problem. Their smelly connection. They were disqualified from the World Snooker Championships for failure to wash.
I don't think that could get you disqualified from snooker. Certainly not in the 80s in any case. No. So Henry Cooper was a boxer. I think he may have been the only Englishman to have gone up against Muhammad Ali. And he didn't win, but, you know, he fought him at least. And Kevin Keegan was a footballer. I think he's now a football manager, or used to be at any rate, a very famous footballer. Their connection is Brute, which is an aftershave. They advertised it. They both advertised it.
So because it wasn't my question and I was really just desperate to know who either of these people was, I looked up Kevin Keegan and it says he's an OBE, which is like, oh, I didn't know footballers could get the OBE, but I guess why not? I mean, if
oh yeah, Paul all McCartney manner could. Of all manner of people get OBEs and CVEs and stuff over here. Yeah, yeah, it's I mean,
fewer of them over here.
It's right. by definition, obviously, it's not egalitarian.
No,
you know, that kind of goes into, but it is, yeah, you know, it's sort of agnostic towards profession and career and what have you.
My father could have answered that question because he knows every absolute thing about boxing, even though he has not watched or supports the sport for many, many years. So next time, let's bring him on as my ringer. Hey, coach, I need some help.
Phone
come
a
on
friend.
In. Go back into my corner.
For the boxing knowledge, the British boxing knowledge.
Probably would know it.
All right, Monty, we're on to you. Please roll.
I have rolled a six.
Wow. Man. Okay. Lots and lots better, of guys. Sport. Yeah.
Changing my die out.
So we have, how many points does it take to win a cribbage game?
Ooh, I used to play cribbage a long time ago.
Never learned.
So I can picture the board. 5, 10, 201?
121.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So you weren't a million miles away. You were clearly sort of along the right lines, but yeah.
I knew it was a multiple of 5 plus 1.
Plus 1, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, so round 4 really knocked you all for 6, as it were. Shelley
what
Eames,
are
fact-
you talking about?
We all rolled 6s. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Right, except me.
Shelley is the only person who scored that round. So at the end of round 4, the scores are Shelley and Glenn are joint first with 5 points each. Dan and Monty are still on 4. Okay. So Dan, we're on to you again. Please roll.
I've gotten a 5, not a dreaded 6.
So that's Science of Nature, yeah?
Yeah, sounds good.
Let's do that one. What did the ancients call the four great elements?
Which ancients? All right. I'm going to guess earth, fire, air, and water.
It says earth, air, fire, and water on my copy of the card, so no, that's no good.
Yeah. No! I'm going to flip a table.
The virtual table. Yes, no, that's correct. Well done.
A great band, I guess, was the other option. All right.
No,
4.
There's no water in the band.
I know there's no. It's fine. 4.
Art and literature. All right. What imaginary island did Sir Thomas More create in a 1516 work?
I believe that would be Utopia.
You believe correct. Well done.
Whole history there. The English major comes in useful.
Yeah, from time to time.
I had a 3.
History, all right. Who ordered the writing of the Doomsday Book?
Bugger. Read the Connie Willis version that references
No.
She did not order the writing of it, I know. I read her version, which talks about the history of it, and I'm trying to remember. So that would have been Is it the Archbishop of Canterbury?
No. It's William the Conqueror.
Okay.
That guy.
Right. He wanted an essay of everything, right? He wanted to know where everything was.
He wants to know what he had conquered.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Smart.
Yeah. No fun to be a conqueror if you don't know what you've conquered.
I mean, all that stuff over there.
Great tracts of land. Vast tracts.
Huge tracts of land. Shelley, we're on to you.
Please, I have once again rolled a 2.
Entertainment. All right. What was Mr. Munster's first name?
Herman.
Correct. That's an easy one to start you off.
Which one?
Well, easy to a certain to a certain generation at any rate.
Let's just call me on brand again. My payback comes now because I've rolled a 6.
Oh, okay. Sports and leisure. What has the Jules Rimet Trophy been replaced with?
Man.
A cleverly made fake.
The Mona Lisa.
The diamond jewels.
Goodness.
I don't know. The diamond Madeira trophy. I have no idea.
If it's any consolation, I wouldn't have known either. Because it's a football question, apparently. It's the FIFA World Cup.
Oh.
Okay, then.
I knew.
So there's actually a World Cup? I mean, I guess that makes sense, but I never really thought of it in terms of an actual cup.
Well, I mean, it's a very stylized
cup. You got to drink from something.
Right. I mean, I just think mostly about fraud and corruption when I think of the FIFA World Cup.
Well, indeed.
It's overflowing.
Glenn, we're on to you.
All right. I have switched my feeble analog die to a dice by Peacock, of course, and I got a 3. Oh, thank God.
History. All right.
Mystery.
What inspired the rhyme Ringa Ringa Roses?
The Black Death, the plague of the 1600s.
Correct.
All right.
Disputed. Citation Dispute. Needed. Yeah, but, it is the answer on the card.
According to the game. All right, I got a 6. Oh, Peacock is dice betraying me too. No.
Right. The dice are my enemy.
I'll do my time. oh, no. The portent of doom and Antony's laughter.
Where did Ian Botham score his 149 not out test innings in 1981?
Oh, okay. Well, how about Lords?
I mean, that's a really good guess.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah, I love that guess.
Yeah, but it's not right. No, it was at Headingley.
Sure. Okay. But sure, I feel good about that answer.
But still, that's
opposite of Footingley.
That was a good, cromulent guess. Well done.
Very plausible.
Very plausible. Thank you.
Plausible points.
I was going to say in the ashes, and I thought that's too rude, honestly.
Monty, on to you, please.
I rolled a 4.
Art and literature. All right. So, what hand does God give life to Adam with on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel?
All right. Well,
I mean, it's a 50-50.
50-50 shot, yeah.
I believe it's his right.
And you are right.
Yeah, I'm picturing it. Yeah.
That's how I remember it. Oh, whoops, I said too much.
I rolled another 4.
Oh, art and literature again. Wow. Okay. Who wrote A Farewell to Arms?
Ernest Hemingway.
Correct.
Now I have rolled a 3.
And that is history. All right. Who was... Sorry, what a bizarre thing. Who was the...
Very dramatic.
Who was the first British monarch to circumnavigate the globe?
Oh, wow.
What a question.
Fascinating.
Huh. I got to go Queen Elizabeth II.
And you are correct.
Yeah. Nobody else was going to leave for the amount of time that would have taken.
No. Yeah. No.
Victoria. Even Victoria, who did make it to India, she wouldn't have gotten around the world.
Yeah. She had armies to do that for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to go, that's amazing.
That is a sweep. Monty, for this round. And at the end of that round, that puts you in the lead. You now have 7 points. Everybody else has 6 points.
All right.
Woo-hoo. It's going to be a close fight game here.
This is great. It just ping-pongs back and forth. All right. On to round six. Dan, please roll.
I have rolled a three.
Three. That is history. All right. How old... Bear in mind, this is from 1983. I'm not sure if it's changed. How old do you have to become president of the US?
I don't believe it has changed. I believe it's still 35.
Apparently, it has not changed, because that is correct. It
would require a constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Not easy to do. All right. A five.
Five, science and nature. What do trees get 90% of their nutrients from?
McDonald's corpses.
They love those fries. All right. Well, 90% of their nutrients.
Apparently so.
I'm going to say
it
soil.
Is. It's 90%, in fact.
Soil?
No. The air.
Really? Really? 90%?
That's what carbon. It says.
I guess.
Maybe it's true. Know. Maybe it's changed.
Maybe right, I was going to say.
Yeah, can we look it up?
Maybe they're born with it.
That's great. They've upgraded since then.
All right,
now
Shelley,
on to Bitcoin.
And I have rolled another two.
I was going to make a branching joke. Never mind. two, entertainment. Who bought the British rights to Buddy Holly's songs?
Oh, jeez. I mean, it's not the Beatles, unless it is, but I don't know that they would have bought it collectively, so let me think about that. All right, I'm just going to say the Beatles.
You're so close. It's Paul McCartney, specifically.
I thought it might be Paul McCartney.
It was after,
I don't know why. Yeah.
It was after Paul McCartney told Michael Jackson you should buy the rights to songs, and Michael Jackson bought the rights to the Beatles songs. Yes. And then Paul said, oh no, I better get on this.
I gotta get on this train.
I forgot about that. That's wild.
I'm picturing that and having him think, like, respect, but now I gotta go buy it.
Yeah. Right.
That's amazing. That is an amazing thing.
Oh, wow. Glenn, we're on to you.
All right, I have rolled a three.
Three, history. All right.
Like history.
Who was the first member of the royal family to be interviewed on TV?
Oh, that's a good question. Ooh. I've watched all of The Crown. I'm trying to think if that'll help me with it.
I have not watched The Crown, so I don't know if that'll help me with it.
I'm trying to think, because George V, he was alive when television existed, but... Queen Elizabeth II's inauguration was televised, which was a whole deal, and she popularized, I'm going to say, Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah, close. It was Prince Philip.
Oh, Prince. Mm. Oh, member of the royal family, of course.
Yeah. I suspect, I mean, this is just speculation, but I suspect that it was probably deemed less lowbrow for, you know, the consort rather than the monarch.
Well, this one, he was
kind of feels like a sop to him too, because like it's like, oh well, you know, he always seemed to, at least from the depictions on The Crown, he always seems to be a bit like, I want to be famous too. Put me on TV.
But he never really was. I mean, you know, later in life, you didn't hear him speak very much. He looked good in a uniform.
Thank God.
Kind of feel like that was by intent. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right.
Because he kept putting his foot in.
Yeah, good point.
They didn't say how many times he was interviewed on television.
just the once. Well, there's in The Crown, they show him complaining about not being able to use the yacht enough during some kind of period of austerity in the 60s. It was like, all right, let's not do that again.
Yeah. I was willing to bet it was going to be one of Queen Elizabeth's children, maybe Prince Charles when he was like seven. And somebody came and said, how do you like being a prince or whatever?
Right.
Yeah. ooh, the hardball question.
Right, exactly.
Monty, on to you.
I rolled a four.
Art and literature. All right. What book opens at a certain village in La Mancha, which I shall not name?
At a certain village in La Mancha, you say?
Yes. Oh.
I think that is Don Quixote.
It is indeed.
Well, Don Quixote. Or is it Don Quixotes? Because yeah. I've been watching QI.
Oh, I rolled another 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, right. What Homerian epic chronicles events towards the end of the Trojan Wars?
The Iliad.
Correct. Oh, he's on a roll.
Classical. The Greek word for Troy was Ilium.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Did he ask you that, Monty? I don't think he did.
Your classical education. It's paying off.
I learned that from Tumblr this year.
I learned that from Dan Simmons, I think.
All right, I rolled a 6. Back to sports and leisure.
All right. Pity you didn't get another 4. That would have, yeah.
If he says leisure and not leisure, does he get to count the points?
Nice. He gets doctor point, yeah.
It should be sport and leisure, shouldn't it?
That's true.
Oh. Who was the 1982 Irish World Snooker Champion?
Oh, man, if only they'd asked Shelley about the 1981.
I know.
I right? knew that one. She knows cold.
I can't think of a guest that isn't going to be offensive in some way, so pass.
It was Alex Higgins.
Not Ian Paisley. Well, sure. Got it.
No, definitely. No. Yeah, Alex Higgins, renowned snooker player and, yes, world champion. I'm sure he's come up in UK Triv before, actually, Alex Higgins, because he was probably at one time the most famous snooker player for whatever value you place on that. The most famous snooker player.
Making us Ian Botham around. And what was his name? Higgins?
Higgins.
Higgins.
All right. So at the end of that round, Monty. Oh, okay. So things are a bit more varied now at last. So Monty is still in the lead. He now has 9 points.
Ooh.
In second place is Dan with 7 points. And then coming up in joint third are Shelley and Glenn with 6 points each.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. So finally starting to get some separation there.
Uh-oh.
So we're back round to Dan, please, Rolly.
I have rolled a 4.
And that is art and literature again. Oh, finally starting to get some cultured questions. That's nice.
Finally, yeah. Let's make this game a little more highbrow.
Yeah. What comic featured the adventures of Dan Dare?
Oh, shoot.
I'll say something. For 1983, for them to put this in art and literature is, quite progressive.
Oh, yeah.
I know of Dan Dare, but I'm trying to think if I know the comic. Well, I mean, I guess the only thing I can think of, which is 2000 AD.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a spirit. 2000 AD was in some ways a spiritual successor, and Dan Dare did appear in 2000 AD. He was revived for 2000 AD. But
so technically correct is what you're saying.
He first appeared in The Eagle, and that's the comic that most people associate with.
I would not have been able to pull that out.
Yeah. That's the one that most people, that he was in it for the longest time and that most people associate him with. Shelley, on to you.
I've rolled a 1.
On geography. All right.
Australia. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What island has been called the Jewel of the Mediterranean?
Jewel of the Mediterranean.
It's Australia.
I was going to say. it's not Malta?
No, it's the other one. It's Sicily.
Oh, crap.
I knew it wasn't Sardinia. Sorry, Sardinia. Right.
Sorry, Sardinia.
Sardinia.
All right, Glenn, we're on to you.
All right, I have rolled a 2.
Entertainment.
Michael Jackson. Oh, geez. Bill Cosby. No, I'm sorry.
Stop it.
What are you doing? Just stop. Brilliant. What woman physically attacked Russell Harty on his TV show?
Oh, that sounds really vaguely familiar.
This was a huge deal in the UK at the time. I mean, like, literally front page news.
Didn't even know that.
Russell, it was, so what woman
physically attacked Russell Harty on his TV show?
I'm trying to think if it's.
Has
like,
Dan just looked it up?
No, I'm just laughing because I'm assuming it's. My first thought was Queen Elizabeth. I would pay anything
She's
to
a
watch
good old girl.
That.
That would be front page news.
Yeah, it would. Front, second, elbow third, drop, fourth, and every other page.
It sounds like a more Princess Margaret move, but.
Throw out the history books, they'll just say John Major punched the Queen. Everything else is a footnote.
wow. Russell Hardy?
Yeah, no, it was his TV show. That's not the answer.
His TV show. I feel like I have a whisper of it in the back of my brain, but I'm not sure I come up with the person's name. Speaking of the era, this is, let's see.
Yeah, 1983, remember.
Just trying to think of somebody who would attack someone in that era who I might know the name, who is female.
Yes. Name a woman in the 1980s.
I'm trying to think of the lead singer from a punk band or something. How about Nancy, whose last name I can't remember, from Sid and Nancy?
I mean, you are Spunden? Kind of in the right ballpark, but also very much not.
Excellent. That's the right ballpark.
Does anyone know the answer to this?
No.
All right.
I was going to guess Susie from Susie and the Banshees, but
that would have been a good another Cromulent guess.
I was
going
to guess Twiggy.
Ooh, it was Grace Jones.
Oh. Really? Oh, wow. Okay, now good I want to see the clip.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube for that.
That sounds great.
Amazing. Immediately on her side.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. 100%. Yeah. You should definitely look up the clip. It was overblown. YouTube. It's not like she literally punched him or anything. She just kind of slapped his shoulder.
Oh yeah, there's a great thumbnail on one of the YouTube.
Yeah.
So you can just see it.
He basically turned away from her to talk to somebody else, and she didn't take kindly to it.
Oh, all right, okay. So it wasn't all right.
Oh, there it is. Look at that. I'll watch that later.
Yeah. It's great. Literally front page news. Like, even to this day, everybody of my generation could answer that question in a heartbeat. It was notorious. Brilliant. Unfortunately, oh no, hang on. That was Shelley's.
Unfortunately, it's Monty's.
Sorry.
Is that what you were going to say?
That wasn't my question.
New quiz show. Unfortunately, it's Monty.
It's Monty.
I would never.
No, sorry. I was going to say, unfortunately, nobody scored that round. My cursor on the spreadsheet was in the wrong place.
Oh, good.
So, Monty, yes, it's your turn.
I have rolled a 4.
Unfortunately, it's Monty. I can picture the artwork already.
I'd be a guest.
What European country witnessed Lord Byron's death?
Oh.
What a way to phrase that question.
They all gathered around. Yep. Everybody in the country gathered around and they waited.
1825 or whatever? Yeah.
Selling
Pass
tickets.
It on.
Line yep. the streets.
Italy?
Do you know, I would have said Italy as well, but apparently it was Greece.
Greece?
Oh, really? Yeah, I would have said Italy also.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. I guess they have some nice islands.
Because of the villa, you know, and everything. That's
if you're going to go die somewhere.
Yeah, that's the country we associate with him. But no,
pick
it was Greece.
Nice.
So, unfortunately...
There you go.
Save that line. Nice.
At the end of that round, nobody scored anything, so the positions are unchanged.
Woohoo! I'm not losing any worse.
That's one way of looking at it, yes.
I'm an optimist.
Always look on the Glen side of life.
I don't recommend that.
All right.
As we're tied, I have no choice at the moment.
That's right.
It's true. It's true. Dan, score kick buddies. Us off for this round.
I have rolled another 4.
Okay, art and literature again. What does the HG in H.G. Wells' name stand for?
Oh, man. Rude.
I'm pretty sure it's Herbert. Oh, but what does the G stand for? Oh, bugger. Herbert.
This is a great question.
This is a good question. Yeah. I feel like I should know this. I'm a little embarrassed that I cannot pull it up. Herbert Garrison Wells.
No, it's Herbert George.
George!
Oh. I should have thought of that. I don't know. I was just panicking trying to think of G names.
Oh, no. Sorry, on to Shelley.
I learned that Gary Trudeau's middle name is Beekman, which is fascinating. Garrett Beekman Trudeau.
This random knowledge brought to you by Glenn.
It'll be a question later in this game, don't worry.
I mean, to be fair, that is kind of Glenn's brand.
It is true.
Staying on brand.
Well, I've rolled a 6, so if you want to move the cursor to the next spot in your spreadsheet, Anthony, feel free.
All right, let's move this
line. That's how it all went wrong last time. So we have Sports and Leisure. Who is the BBC's most famous boxing commentator?
Henry Cooper? Amazing. No. See, I want half a point for knowing who Henry Cooper was 45 minutes ago.
You see, these days, that wouldn't be like an entirely, you know, silly answer, because these days, so many commentators are now, you know, former sportsmen.
Players.
That didn't used to be the case, but now here especially, you can't move for former players turn pundits.
I mean, that's all I have, so... Russell Hardy. That would have been my second. But considering that he and Grace Jones have a slapping history together.
Russell
Hardy. And she
Hardy
did some
boxing,
I believe.
Russell Hardy doing boxing commentary. I really want to hear that now. My goodness. Did you know that Brian Blessed commentated on televised sumo for a short period?
Wow. What?
Can you imagine?
I need to see that.
Anyway, his name was Harry Carpenter.
Of course. The initials are the same.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. He was very well known over here, but Glenn, we're on to you.
I got a 6. Of course I did. Everything's betraying me.
Oh, wow. This is not going to go well.
All right. We'll try it.
What did Allen Webster fire 1,231 yards to set a world record in 1982?
Oh, all right. Well, those are clues. Those are things I could construct into something. 1,200 how many yards?
1,231 yards.
Oh, I thought, okay, that makes a big difference. I was, 1,200 yards. What did he, can you read the whole thing again for me?
I can. What did Allen Webster fire 1,231 yards to set a world record in 1982?
Wow, fire. I mean, you cannot propel something through manual effort, so it must have been some sort of explosive compression device had to be involved, or something, or a javelin, or a some kind of crazy slingshot, maybe. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, darts is a sport too. Let's see, could he have thrown a dart? He could not have thrown a dart 1,000.
Listen to what you're saying, Glenn.
He clearly doesn't.
I'm just working it through. He's podcasting magic. You say the crazy
1,000-yard dart tournament. That's interesting.
Now I'm suddenly interested again.
Right. Scores you are lower than this game.
I was thinking, like, anything you couldn't. I don't think anything to do. It has to be. It has to be a gun.
Imagine if they dropped them from a platform 1,000 yards above the dartboard.
From a plane?
They're too good now, right?
1,000-yard darts.
Yeah, it's the handicap.
Next on BBC. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. All right, so it can't be
barbecue sauce.
Fire that far. He fired for a record. Firing usually means shooting something. It couldn't be a cannonball, because they're very heavy. They don't go very far. That's ammunition.
Hang on.
Can't fire a cannonball.
And now we go to the cannon firing event.
That's why cannons on pirate ships are famously short range weapons.
I'm just going to say a rifle, because I can't come up with anything better.
You overthought it. It's an arrow.
Yeah, I was thinking that might be.
Oh my gosh.
It's either an arrow or a rifle. Okay. I would have gone with Glenn that it needed something explosive. That is a.
That's crazy distance.
Compound bows, though, man. Let 3, me tell
000?
You.
Oh, yeah. But still, that is.
Wow.
That's a lot.
All right, I'm just impressed now. I don't need to be worried about being wrong.
I hope they cleared the space that far away, because you could just be walking along, having a nice day in the park, and whammo! Arrow out of nowhere.
Wow, that is astonishing.
I think by the time you heard it, you'd already be shot.
That's right. It would be faster. Yeah. As fast as the speed. That's amazing. All right. I'm impressed.
All right. Monty, we are on to you. Please roll.
6. Sports and leisure.
Oh, my God.
How many yards did Queen Elizabeth run during the 1936 equestrian?
I just hope at some point he says he's out of sports and leisure questions. I know that's not possible, because the cards all have the same number, but this is my dream.
What two throwing events made up part of the ancient Greek pentathlon?
That's a good question.
Like that
one. Shot put and discus.
50%. It's discus and javelin.
I was thinking it might be the javelin. It's a good one.
But well done for getting discus. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't think about discus.
That is another blowout that round.
Washout,
I should say. Yeah, zero.
Were those three of those? Yeah,
one of those is good and one of those is not so great.
Yeah, so. Washout, yeah. So let's go on to. So again, positions haven't changed. I'll recap. Monty has 9 points. Dan has 7. Shelley and Glenn have 6. Let's do one final regular round, and then we'll go on to the unlimited
round. That's a crazy
round. Yeah.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah.
So Dan, round to you.
All right. I have rolled a... just kill me now. It's a 6.
The fates.
Oh, wow.
Give me a question about baseball from roughly 1954, and I might have a shot.
Tinkers to...
What chess outcome results when a player has no legal move? What chess outcome results when a player has no legal move?
I believe that's a checkmate.
No, it's a stalemate.
I thought when both players had no moves, it was a stalemate.
No, if it's your turn and you have no legal move, it's a stalemate.
Yeah, if you're not in checkmate, but you have no legal
move.
If you're not in check, rather, but you have no legal move, that's a stalemate.
I overthought it.
Sorry, I really thought you were going to get that one.
No, I should have. I took the wrong guess there.
Shelley, please roll.
I've rolled a 5.
5, science and nature. Yeah. Everybody breathes a sigh of relief.
5 sixes in a row or so.
Right? We're breaking the streak.
Oh man. I hope I can pronounce this one correctly. What appear... when the sun activates your melanocytes. I'll spell that. MELANOCYTES. Melanocytes.
I don't know. Whenever I see Pepper's Frog cookies, I have them in my melanocytes.
What appear when the sun activates your melanocytes?
Correct.
I'm going to say dark spots in front of your eyes.
It's freckles.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Melanin.
Yes.
I was thinking a pier was the part I was thinking, don't you tan? But I guess that's the... Oh, man. All right.
No, I get that. I literally, you know, sort of right now, my arms have no freckles on them. But come the summer when the sun comes out, I will get freckles on my forearms.
Yeah.
I'm very freckled.
Glenn, we're on to you.
A three.
History.
We're on to you, Glenn.
Wow, there's a lot of royalty in this one.
All right.
Anybody would think that we were a nation obsessed with them. Who was the first British Prime Minister to serve under Queen Elizabeth II?
Okay. I'm going to say Winston Churchill.
And you are correct, my friend. All right, Glenn, roll again.
I've got a 2.
2. Entertainment. Who was Laughing's Sock It To Me Girl?
Oh, I know this. I actually know this, and the minute you said it, it fell out of my head, and it is Goldie Hawn.
No.
Oh, it's not her. It's the other
one. Yes.
It's whom?
Judy Carnes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it says Carn here with no S.
Just
I did
I think
not
you're right.
know that
I think
then. So I,
I
don't
think
feel
your
bad.
Game is right. I think I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't take that bet with Trivial Pursuit, to be perfectly honest with you.
Goldie Hawn was on Laughing.
Yes. Yeah, she was.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I would never have gotten. I did not know the other woman's name. So there we go. I don't feel bad.
All right, Monty, we're on to you.
6.
Unfortunately, 6. So...
Yep.
There's your episode 6. Title.
And now the 6th show.
What does the referee count to when a professional wrestler is pinned?
Oh.
3.
Correct. 1.
Really, he counts
point.
to 1, 2, and oh, he kicked out more often.
Roll again.
I rolled another 6.
Oh, you're killing me. Oh, dear. What non-mechanical sport achieves the highest speeds?
The highest speeds?
That's a great question. Yes.
It is
now,
a great question.
Now, it's not asking for the speed of a person. So I believe that the answer
No, let me stop you there. I'm going to give you the clue and say that, no, it is the speed of the competitor.
Okay, because otherwise I was going to say Hi-Li. But if it's the speed of the person...
That would have been a very good answer.
Non-motorized.
Non-mechanical.
Non-mechanical.
Oh. I put in what usage of mechanical.
You could be spinning something in your hand, I guess.
1983.
It is a bit of a dodgy question, to be honest, but yeah.
Luge.
Skydiving.
Oh. Wait, that's a sport?
I was going to say horse racing.
That's why I thought it was a bit of a
horse racing as well.
That's why I thought it was a bit of a dodgy question, to be honest. Yeah.
That is a dodgy question. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. So that is the end of round 9, if you can believe that.
Gosh.
Okay. And at the end of that round, Monty is still in the lead. He now has 10 points. Glenn and Dan both have 7, and Shelley has 6. So what we'll do now is we're now going to do our final round. So as I mentioned before, there's no scoring limit on this round. So long as you keep answering questions correctly, you can keep going. But we're also now going to switch the order around just to make things a bit more interesting. So we start with the leader, and that is Monty. He will set the score for everyone else to beat. And then we'll go in ascending order of current score, starting score from that point onwards. So first of all, Monty, let's get your final score. Please roll.
I have rolled a 3.
A 3, all right. And that is, history. What was the unfortunate claim to fame of two thieves named Dismas and Gestus?
Can you spell their names?
I can. I may well have mispronounced them. It might be Dismas and Gestus or something. I'm not sure. It's Dismas and Gestas.
Are they the two guys crucified next to Jesus?
They are. Oh. Well done. Wow. Very
pretty nice. Sure that was right. Nice.
Wow. I mean, if you do win this now, I think you might deserve it just on the basis of knowing that alone.
That was pretty good.
I have rolled another 3.
Another 3. Wow, okay.
I haven't rolled a 2 this entire game, I think.
Probably good.
Wow. What's the name of the ICE patrol ship that won a reprieve because of the Falklands conflict?
The HMS Intrepid.
I mean, that's a really good guess because it's actually the Endurance, which is kind of...
Oh, man.
Yeah,
was it
you
Shackleton's
know.
Ship or something? No.
I don't think so, no.
This ship was destroyed.
I know what British ships are named like, but I don't know the specific one.
Yeah, no,
that would have been very recent when this game came out.
It would, yes.
Perseverance. Yes.
Yeah, that was an absolute solid guess. You're right.
That's great.
It's definitely the sort of thing that a British ship would be called. We probably have got ships called the Intrepid, but no, not that one. All right, so now we go to lowest scorer, which is currently Shelley. Please
roll. I rolled a 3.
3. Oh, wow. Okay. Suddenly we're getting all the history questions.
Ooh.
Not complaining so far.
Yeah. What was the Princess of Wales's maiden name?
Spencer.
Oh, come on.
Yes,
it was 1983, Spencer. Internet Spencer.
Yeah.
Well, it's all going to end badly because I just rolled a 6.
All right. Sports and leisure. What would you be examining? This is kind of, I wish I could show you this because by saying it, I'm kind of giving you the answer. What would you be examining if you used a taste van?
Spell it?
Taste, T-A-S-T-E, V-I-N.
V-I-N, taste van. What would you be examining if you used the taste fin? someone's tongue.
No, it's wine.
Wine, yeah.
Ah, oh, Vin, right.
That's why I pronounced it, taste van.
Oh. Right. Oh, well.
Okay, never mind. You still, you end with a very respectable 7 points, Shelley, believe me. I mean, you know, you've been on UK Trip before, so you know that is actually a pretty good score. So well done. Right, we have Dan and Glenn remaining. They both have 7, so let's just go in regular order. Dan, you first.
Alrighty. I rolled a 2.
Entertainment. All right.
Go ahead now. Entertain me.
What instrument are you playing if you perform a rim shot?
Ha! I hope the drums.
Yes, it's the drums.
The gamelan.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that could have gone worse. 4.
Art and literature again. All right. Oh, it's him again. What island did Ernest Hemingway spend much of his writing life on?
What are we considering an island?
Excuse me.
I'm going to say Key West.
No. Anybody else?
Cuba.
Cuba?
Is it
Cuba?
Is it Cuba? Really? Okay.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Forgot he spent time there.
So, Dan, you finish with 8 points, which, again, you know, we know is a pretty respectable score. So, yeah, well done. But let's go on to Glenn.
All right. It's time to go down on the Titanic. Here I go. What did I get? I got a 4.
4, arts and literature.
Is the Titanic.
All right. What play recounts the last hours of Willie Loman?
Death of a Salesman.
Correct.
Right.
I hate when other people get questions I know the answers to.
That's your ghost points.
Awful, yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
I got a 3. Went off the screen on this.
3, history. All right. What continent did Christopher Columbus think he was on when he landed in the Americas? Continent.
Continent, so Asia.
Correct. I mean, okay. Not, you know, again, not true, but
right.
But it's right. The correct answer to the question.
Portuguese navigators who are actually Jewish. It's a whole story. 4.
Arts and literature. Who is often referred to as the thinking man's beagle?
the thinking man's beagle?
Yes.
Like B-E-A-G-L-E.
Yes.
The thinking man's beagle. Beagle. I'm trying to think if that's like an analogy or there's literally like a cartoon character who is a beagle who is very smart and people think that is the kind of beagle that I would like to be. Because I'm a thinking man. I don't know anything. This all doesn't make any sense. The thinking man's beagle. Fred Bassett. I have no idea.
So what sort of dog
did
do you
really
think
talk
Fred Bassett
your way
is?
Right out of that?
Yeah, what? He did. He absolutely did.
What type of dog do you think Fred Bassett is?
Yeah,
a beagle.
He's a Basset Hound.
He's a Basset Hound! Is it Snoopy?
If only there were a famous Snoopy. Beagle.
Yeah. It's Snoopy.
Of course it's Snoopy.
Oh.
Man. You know that famous character beagle that's really smart. I can't think of anything.
Fred Bassett's only... Basset Hound. Bassett's in the name. Well, this is where
name
I realize...
Fred Bassett. You glend your way right
there's
out of that
one. There's
a point
where my brain juice runs out, and that was it.
Oh my God. I thought for sure.
Could not work my way out of the hole into which I dug.
Ah, oh, superb.
Myself. There we go.
All right. Well, on that note, somehow, Glenn, you scored 9 points.
Woohoo!
Which does put you in second place. But Monty is our winner.
Bassett.
Monty is our winner with 11 points.
All right.
Woo-hoo!
Well done. And that's a high score for UK Trip. Yeah. We had several sweeps. I'm looking at the spreadsheet now. Dan, Shelley, Glenn and Monty all had one sweep during that game.
Class.
Excellent.
Yeah, well done.
Use this set.
Yeah.
Can't fool us with all the Ian Bothams.
But we can fool you with beagles, apparently.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
So many Ian Bothams died to bring you that information.
Oh, have you been planning that once?
There you go.
That's good.
That's
I
great.
Like it.
That's
excellent. Oh, all right. My thanks to Dan, Shelley, Glenn, and Monty for taking part today. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to this ludicrous nonsense. We'll see you next time.